What's going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 7:02 on a Thursday night as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock tonight here on 97.5 The Fanatic, following Anthony Gargano and Cousins Corner like we do every Thursday night, broadcasting live from Parks Casino. Anthony is every Thursday night, so if you want to stop in, you know, 6 o'clock, he's there. All right, 6 to 7, and we get to follow Ant. Always love listening to Ant from that time, 6 to 7. And we get to, the solid lead-in, we get to follow up on Ant. There's still some people who want to talk about Mike D'Antoni and the Sixers coaching search, the Eagles, and what they need to do this weekend as we get ready for Joe Burrow, Joe Mixon, a little bit of A.J. Green. He's kind of losing it a bit. And the Cincinnati Bengals coming into town with the Birds, a must-win situation. Oh, man, so we have a lot to get into. We'll keep the D'Antoni stuff going as well. We'll talk some Birds as we near game number three, week number three of the football season. Again, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. We also need to talk some Phillies. There's an off night for the Phillies tonight, so we can actually talk about the Phillies if you need to, because they are right now sitting at 28-29. Yesterday they won 12-3 over the Washington Nationals, avoiding the sweep. I mean, you needed to win, so okay, we'll take it. But it doesn't take away from the fact that you lost in the fashion that you did. The other games is just frustrating overall. So right now they're half a game behind the Marlins for the division's second guaranteed playoff spot. We know that they are 8 in each conference now because of the added playoff team with this specific season, the 60-game season. They wanted to do some different things. So, they have some work to do. And they are in Tampa Bay this weekend, starting tomorrow. Tyler's favorite American League team, Tyler Zuli, producing the show. And they have some work to do. And people were saying, oh, well, Tampa Bay's already clinched. They're just going to rest people. And no, they're not. They're still trying to win. They have some people that they want to make sure that they get some work in before the postseason starts next week. So they're going to still go out there and try to win. So the Phillies are not going to be handed anything in Tampa. So they have to go out there and win. And right now they are tied with the Brewers. And they are both one game behind the Cincinnati Reds for the National League's number 8 postseason spot in the National League, right? The San Francisco Giants are number, 7? Led by Gabe Kapler. They are currently playing right now. Tiebreakers, the Marlins hold the tiebreaker over the Phillies after winning the season series 7-3. This is a setup with the coronavirus. Philadelphia owns, and I'm looking at this one, Philadelphia owns an identical intradivision record as the Reds at number 8 seed, 21-19, and a better intradivision record than the Brewers, 17-18, and a number 7 seed Giants, 17-18. So, hey, 3 games remaining. Will they make the postseason? We will find out. This weekend is going to be very, very interesting for them, and you know how it's going to play out. They're going to win every game, but they need help from elsewhere, and then they miss out. Then what does that mean for Matt Klentak? Huh? What does that mean for Matt Klentak? So we have a lot to get into. Barrett Brooks from NBC Sports Philadelphia, his usual Thursday visit. He will check in with us at 8:05 because at 8 o'clock, the Fanatic Football Pool. You heard it earlier today at 8 a.m., noon with Anthony, 4 with Mike, and we get to close down the evening at 8 o'clock with the Fanatic Football Pool. Last night, you know, we missed out on giving away the qualification for the grand prize drawing of being in the mix for everything that's inside the football pool. So hopefully we give out a winner tonight. The fifth caller will certainly win the $100 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. But then you can also qualify once again to be in the mix for the grand prize drawing of the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it. So let's get things started as we, we can get into look, we're going to leave everything on the table that Anthony had already started with because there are people who are still waiting. So we appreciate Anthony for, setting things up, and we appreciate the folks for hanging in and continuing the conversation with us here tonight until 10 o'clock. So, D'Antoni, I did not give my thoughts really last night like it was asked of me because the flow just the flow of the show just kept going in a lot of different directions, and I did not have the time to really lay out what I thought about Mike D'Antoni, so I will give that. The Eagles, I see Big E wants to talk about the offensive line. We can certainly discuss that with Isaac Seumalo now being out at the left guard spot and Doug not committing to the starting positions at either guard spot for the replacements for Brandon Brooks and Isaac Seumalo. So we'll get into all of that in the Birds in general. Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson, where you are as they get ready for the Cincinnati Bengals. How are you feeling getting ready to lead into this game? And certainly we'll break down the game a lot more tomorrow. Barrett Brooks will talk about it a little bit tonight with us here at 8:05 when he joins us. So we have plenty to discuss. I'll give out the numbers right now, 610-632-0975. So before we get to the phone calls, and I know Tyler wants, we're going to start with Tyler with D'Antoni since Ant was talking about that. So here are my thoughts on Mike D'Antoni, and we'll have this conversation with Tyler in a second on the phones from New Jersey. But my thoughts on Mike D'Antoni are this. I say that at the age of 69, listen, I'm not worried about that. What I look at is, How does he come in and adapt to what you have? Let's assume that they cannot move anybody. Not because the contracts are so terrible, but because the contracts are terrible and you are in the coronavirus period right now, COVID-19, the COVID-19 NBA, where there is no gate, right? There's no gate. There's no money coming in. There's no revenue. There's no ticket sales. There are no parking sales. There are no concession sales. So they're losing a lot of money, these owners are. And right now, from, again, what I had said before, from what I understand, as far as Tyronn Lue, he wants up to $7 million annually on his contract wherever he goes. And from what I understand, he does not mind sitting out a season. He's not in any rush, right? Lives in Las Vegas, has good money, lives in L.A. during the basketball season because he coaches with the Los Angeles Clippers. He's fine until he finds the right deal to coach the right team. He'll be perfectly fine. So he's not really in a rush to take a job, although this one is enticing. Again, as we have heard, the interest is real for both sides, right? So when I look at Mike D'Antoni, though, and what he does, has not coached a big man like Joel Embiid. I believe he had Shaq. But when he had Shaq, it wasn't Shaq. It was Shaq later on in his career, and eventually they moved on from him pretty quickly when he went to Miami and won the title with Dwayne Wade, and he was the second guy to Dwayne Wade. So this would be interesting to see how he works with Joel Embiid. Not only does he have to figure out, again, if they cannot move any of their people on the roster as much as you would like or as much as they might like during a normal offseason, all right, they're going to be stuck with what they have. Al Horford at the power forward position. What do you do with him? Do you bring him off the bench? Do you start him? Is this now the time to start Matisse Thybulle in the starting unit? Or is Josh Richardson still here? All those types of things. But looking at, It's a weird fit, yes. But I also look at it and say, I'm intrigued by the idea of Mike D'Antoni and his offensive mind, seeing what he can come in and bring to the table to the Philadelphia 76ers with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, two all NBA level players. They both made it at one time or another. Now that Ben Simmons made the third team this season. Both defense, all defensive players, because they have both made those teams as well. And there's still the possibility of growth within the both of them. More Simmons than there is Embiid. Although I do think there's a little bit more that Embiid can do, but that's all about him, his discipline with his fatigue, his fitness, his level of conditioning and where that is. Especially in a system where, while D'Antoni may not simply do the all running gun, 7 seconds or less type of offense, he will still incorporate it while having a big man like Joel Embiid. There is a level of success that can be had. He's too talented for it not to happen. Mike D'Antoni is a good enough coach where it should not hinder Joel Embiid from still being Joel Embiid, right? So I look at it and I'm interested. Because I'm interested in the pick and roll opportunities. I'm interested in the outside shooting from whoever else is around them. They shoot a lot of three-pointers as it is. So let's not confuse these current 76ers with what Houston did, of course, with James Harden. They don't have a James Harden to shoot at the volume that he does, right? They don't have this. They don't even have an Eric Gordon to shoot at the volume that he does with the amount that they get up. But everyone gets those shots up, from Harden to now Covington, P.J. Tucker, Eric Gordon, Austin Rivers, now Jeff Green on the team, House Jr., who got kicked out of the bubble. These guys fire it up. The Sixers also fire it up. They just don't shoot it at the same clip, and it's the impact of those threes are not the same as what we saw with the Houston Rockets. They'll put up like 70 in a game, where the Sixers will put up a nice 40 from time to time, 41, whatever it might be. But as far as Mike D'Antoni specifically, I'm not mad, as I've heard many people say they would check out on the Sixers. They have no interest in the Sixers if he is the choice at head coach, because it's intriguing enough for me to see what can be unlocked within whatever style of offense he chooses to run with those two players, in specifically with Embiid and Simmons. John Clark reported earlier from NBC Sports Philly that, of course, the interest is there with Mike D'Antoni. One of the things with it is the possibility of luring James Harden here to Philadelphia in 2 years when he is a free agent, or before then via a trade. All right. I mean, listen, John gets his information, so he obviously has his connections. So that's something, right? I'm not hiring a guy for what can happen 2 years from now with a new addition to the team. I'm hiring him for right now, and if something can progress to a big-time name wanting to come to Philadelphia, then so be it. That would be fantastic. But I'm not hiring him simply for that reason and bringing in a head coach. I'm not doing that. But I am simply, I sit there, I scratch my head, and I give that head nod of, okay, all right, Mike, you were here before. You were an assistant on Brett Brown's bench while Embiid and Simmons did not play. You've coached against them over the years. You know what their weaknesses are. You can also figure out their strengths because you've watched film and you've tried to go against them and you try to stop them as well. What has he figured out over the years that, number one, intrigued him to come back, and number two, that he has, you know how you see the numbers over top of the guys, people's heads, when the mathematicians and all that, when they have their heads just going all crazy, or simply a thought bubble, and you have all these things going on, popping up and down, all these things. What is Mike D'Antoni, an offensive guy, thinking about with Embiid and Simmons? This is different than what he has had before. He is not going to run it the way we've seen it before with Phoenix and now Houston. He had his struggles with New York and LA because Carmelo Anthony and Kobe Bryant are different types of players in that regard, where they don't run it like James Harden can run it, or they don't run it the same way that Steve Nash ran it. This will be different because Simmons can run it. He won't shoot it that way, but he'll run it. Do you have the horses to keep up with them when they're darting up and down the floor? And then when you get into the half-court set, what does he come up with for Joel Embiid, the rest of the offense, in that type of situation for this basketball team led by him? Now, defensively, people say Mike D'Antoni is an offensive guy strictly. He doesn't want to play any defense. Well, guess what? He's never had anybody like these two to be the defenders that they are, first-team, all-level defenders. P.J. Tucker's been a nice defender, absolutely. Rajah Bell was a nice defender on the wing, for sure. Kobe, obviously. Clint Capella was a decent defender, sure. Robert Covington, this past season, acquired during the trade deadline. I'm trying to think of some other players that were defensive-minded. Quentin Richardson was a nice wing defender. He may not focus on the defense, but that's why you hire defensive coaches. That's their job to do that while he puts together the offensive game plan and what needs to be done to put that team together offensively and then defensively, how that defensive coach, like, let's say they lost Jeff Bisdelic. That was a guy that he really liked to lean on for his defense. I don't know who that would be here. In this case, I don't know. I know he liked Roy Rogers, but that's more of the big man guy. I don't know who he would want. I would have to look at their coaching staff and see what that is. Does he keep Emi Udoka around? Does he keep Kevin Young around? I don't know, because I believe they all have 1 year remaining on their deals as well. Not, that doesn't mean that they won't still be here or be let go. It just means they have 1 year left on their deal. What then happens? Does that mean something for the new coaching head coach that comes in? He wants his own players. So I'm intrigued by it. I am. At this point, my choice again was Dave Yeager. I don't hear his name much. Maybe they're not going in that direction. Okay. I am at the point where get it right. Just get it right. And whoever that is, make sure that is the right choice for this basketball team at this time with the players that you have. If he is it, Elton, I hope, is right. If he is it, I hope he adjusts to his personnel, and I hope that he can also implement what he does and that personnel is able to adjust to him also. And we'll see about some moves in the offseason. So that's where we'll start, and we'll get to Big E with the Eagles as well. 610-632-0975. So, D'Antoni, I'm intrigued by it. What about you? Why are you against it? Why are you for it if he is the choice for the Philadelphia 76ers? Tyronn Lue still in the mix. Some like Nate McMillan and a few others. What do you guys think? Why are you for it or against it? 610-632-0975. We'll get to the Birds as well. Barrett Brooks at 8:05. The Fanatic Football Pool at 8 o'clock. Baseball, they're off tonight, so we'll talk about them too. 610-632-0975. So we have plenty to get into, and we'll discuss that. Let's start off with Tyler, who's been hanging on since the Cuz's Corner show from 6 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ty? Thanks for hanging on.
What's going on, Devon?
What's up, man?
I mean, it's been a minute since I called in, but look, it's and I know people are hanging on, so let's just get into D'Antoni right away. He's not my favorite choice. I actually think it'd be a bad move for Philadelphia to bring in an offensive-minded guy, considering this is not a roster constructed to be anywhere near elite at the offensive level. We got a bunch of mid-range shooters, two guys who want to bang down low, and a 38-year-old vet who really can't do much of anything on either direction. So the idea of D'Antoni putting him in charge of this, $400-500 million payroll, it, in theory, you think we can maximize the offense, right? But where does that lead us? I don't see any coach in this league making our offense better than Boston, better than Miami. And frankly, Brooklyn is coming up next year, and Milwaukee's going to be right there. We don't need an offensive-minded coach, because those offenses are built at just a foundational level to be better than anything we could cobble together in Philadelphia. But my biggest issue with D'Antoni really is that, what has he done? He's proven he can optimize a roster. He can get a player to perform at their peak for what, essentially? This guy is really great at getting teams to get to their ceiling, but he can't push them any higher than that.
Okay, well, let me fight back on that one real quick, Ty. Think about what happened with the Phoenix Suns when they were at their best, the hip check that happened with the San Antonio Spurs, Robert Horry knocking Steve Nash into the scores table. And then they had players suspended because they stepped out of that restricted area of if a brawl is about to happen, if a fight is about to happen, an altercation, then you step too far, you're suspended. So that next game they lost, and then the momentum shifted to the Spurs, which you know, they didn't need much of a crack to get their help to win the series. That was one that was lost there that I would say that was not his fault. The second one against the Golden State Warriors, when Chris Paul was with the Houston Rockets, teamed up with James Harden, the 3-1 lead that they had, Chris Paul, the hamstring injury. I as much as I love the Golden State Warriors, Ty, you know how I feel about that. I love that team. I love that run that they had, that dynasty. I was afraid they were going to lose that series if Chris Paul was healthy. And again, I'm not blaming those two on him. Those are the ones that would have gotten him to the NBA Finals, potentially. And the conversation would have just simply been he has never won a championship after reaching twice the NBA Finals. So that would be my get back to come back on your statement right there.
But I can't deny either of those. All right,
there's and I understand there are ifs. I understand there are ifs, but those are real things that happen.
You're right. There are things out of a coach's control.
Right.
Can't deny that. The very next year, Houston is facing a Golden State team without Kevin Durant, and they have Chris Paul. They still got eliminated, dog.
Well, at that point, they were already done. Whatever was happening between James Harden and Chris Paul, it was already done.
It was. You're right. It's baked in. But this is the third part I'm trying to get to, and it's managing strong personalities. And this is my biggest issue with Mike. All right, it didn't work in L.A. It didn't work in New York. He drove Chris Paul out of Houston and came within about a half a fingertip of getting eliminated by
him. That was a James Harden, Chris Paul thing, not Mike D'Antoni.
It's not D'Antoni, but you got to understand, these personalities, we have Ben and Embiid.
I know.
Are some of the strongest personalities in the league. And when Jimmy got to Philly, the idea wasn't that is he gonna disrupt the ship, he's going to make it work with these guys. And he was able to bridge that gap between player, coach, and player, and kind of operate as the leader that Brett Brown wasn't. And I'm not saying D'Antoni isn't a leader, but in terms of getting your stars to buy in and to accept either the realities of their role or accept what their just get the best out of your players. He can do this. Can you get him to cooperate? I haven't seen it.
Okay.
That's why I don't like D'Antoni.
All right, Ty, listen, great start, man. Thanks again. Good to hear from you. I know it's been a while. Don't be a stranger, man. Check in whenever. But listen, we'll get into more of that. And, of course, the Eagles on the other side. Let's take this quick break. We come right back. Big E, Max, Matt, everybody else that's there, we'll get to you when we get back. 610-632-0975, 25 minutes commercial free. When we do return right here, Devon Givens until 10 on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. Devon Givens, 610-632-0975. Hanging out with you. With Tyler Zuli producing the show, 610-632-0975. Barrett Brooks at 8:05. The Fanatic Football Pool Hour giveaway will be at 8 o'clock. So tune, make sure you listen out for that. We'll get to the Phillies as well. Eagles are still in conversation. We'll do that right now with Big E and Woodbury hanging on the Fanatic. What's up, Big E?
Hey, Devon.
How you doing, man?
Long time no speak.
How you doing? Y'all good?
I'm doing great.
Good.
I was going to start with the offensive line with the Eagles. Well, changes have to be made.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to shift to NBA basketball and coaches.
Okay.
Can you help me with this?
Let's do it.
Because I know your station is big on basketball.
Well, hey, we are the home.
I'm a big Michigan State Spartan guy.
Okay.
And Tom, I think his name is Tom Izzo. I think he just retired. What do you think about bringing him in?
I don't think Tom Izzo retired. And he's actually, I believe he's still there. And he also has turned down many, many offers to coach in the NBA. And for some reason, he won't leave the school. He has a great situation going on there. The same with Jay Wright, Big E. At Villanova, where his name was thrown into the mix for the Philadelphia 76ers opening, and he has already backed out earlier in the process once the firing a month ago now happened with
Jay Wright?
With Brett Brown. So Jay Wright.
Oh, Brett.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Jay Wright said no. So I don't think you can lure Tom Izzo out of Michigan State right now. He has a good thing going on in East Lansing, and I think he stays there.
I love the Spartans, you know?
Yeah, I got it. You know, I like some Spartans guy too, Steve Smith. one of my favorites of all time, Draymond Green, big fan of his, so I get it.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Well, thanks for making it, man. Appreciate it. Always. Good to hear from Big E. 610-632-0975. I think Tom Izzo is staying where he is. Matt in Pottstown checking in next on the Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, Devon, how's it going?
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. I just finished a solid dinner, not liquid, so I'm pretty coherent.
okay.
Listen.
Yes.
I'm not bashing Mike D'Antoni. I think the guy has a tremendous track record for success. I know a caller talked to earlier about how he pushes players to reach their potential and all these things. And I agree with all that. But here's my thing. And you alluded to it in the beginning. We need to get somebody who can immediately make the impact for here and now and continuously rise. So right now, what Mike D'Antoni brings to the table, and his history, not that he can't, but his history does not show a lot of flex in what he does, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at our pieces right now...
So when you say flex, are you looking more towards the New York and Los Angeles situations?
Just in general, I mean,
okay.
You pretty much know what his offense is. You know what the style of team he wants to create. You know what he wants to build. It's I don't want to say it's identical wherever he's been, but it's very similar. There's very little flex in what it is. Like, there's three key components, and one of the big things is obviously shooting. The other thing is fast-paced up and down. So with those two pieces alone, those two primary building blocks of the Mike D'Antoni program, they do not fit with the pieces that we have here for an immediate impact right now. So what I see is at least 2 years or 3 years of wasted time with excellent talent trying to find their path. And that's not the kind of guy you want to bring in. What is our strongest asset right now? And I know we have Joel Embiid, who does so many great things and so many bad things. We have Ben Simmons, who, you know, so does so many great things and so many bad things. But you could say that we can be a defensive type team. We missed the boat on bringing in a guy who would build a team based off, you know, building it around defense, creating offense. Now you want to bring in a guy that's more or less an offensive guy, where defense, it's not really so much a priority. It's you're just going to outrun and you know, gun and run faster than the team that you're going against. So to me, that's not the piece you want. We missed a boat on Billy Donovan. So I don't know what the next step is. It can't be Tyronn Lue, in my opinion, because for me, I'm stepping over Tyronn like AI. I just can't have the guy. He's not the guy I want here. I don't know what this front office is doing. I don't know what Elton Brand is sitting on, but we're missing the boat on guys that I think could have had immediate impact. You have a guy in Ben Simmons who could be defensive player of the year if built the right way and pushed the right way. You have Joel Embiid who could be an MVP. No question does he have the talent to be an MVP in this league if the things are in place. And I don't see that happening with a Mike D'Antoni system. I don't even see Embiid surviving that. You talk about player restrictions and needing time off. This guy will be gassed by halftime. You're gonna have to cart him out for the third quarter. There's no way he can. I know he can get in better shape, but there's no way he can run a Mike D'Antoni type offense where you want to go, go, go. And not even to mention Al Horford. Now, if you're telling me we're gonna package up and get rid of a couple guys and bring in a guy like Buddy Hield and bring in this guy and draft this kid from Villanova, now you're talking different pieces that might make a Mike D'Antoni type thing. So my last point is this. If they're strongly considering Mike D'Antoni, we need to look outside the box beyond that. If they're bringing in Mike D'Antoni, does that mean that they're willing to cut some pieces and bring in some other pieces to make it a Mike D'Antoni fit? I don't think you bring Mike D'Antoni in with what we have right now and say, let's go make a cake. You bring in Mike D'Antoni, you got to bring in some other ingredients.
Yeah, you have to have the Mike D'Antoni system. But again, like I said, man, everything you're saying, Matt, you're absolutely right. But again, I can't sit here and say that I'm not intrigued by the idea. I really am.
I'm intrigued because he's a class guy and he's a high profile guy, but that's about where it stops me in terms of fitting. That's where my intrigue stops and my questions come in.
That and it's all fair. And the weird part is, what is the answer then? As you said, you don't know. You don't have one. You don't want Ty Lue. Those are the two names outside of Billy Donovan that has been linked to the team. And we don't know right now. We don't know what direction they're going to go.
And a guy, and I just, if I had this quick second to throw it in there, I know he is, I don't, he's not on the table. And he obviously he has the NBA clout, but he doesn't have the coaching stroke at this point. But a guy who I think could be wondrous for JoJo would be a guy like Tim Duncan. He could really get his head where it needs to be, I think. He could really guide him in the way that position can be played. Because in my opinion, what JoJo is he is the next evolution of what Tim Duncan
and
brought forth to the NBA.
That's one that Bob Cooney has been talking about, Tim Duncan, the idea of Tim Duncan coming in here
I don't know what he does as an overall.
But what about everything else? And it's not to say that that would be the wrong choice. He might make it work, but we don't know anything. Matt, thanks for the call, man. Good to catch up. We don't know anything about Tim Duncan as a head coach, except for he took over for Popovich when he was sick, and they gave Tim Duncan the reins. He and Becky Hammon took care of everything. And that was that. That was that. That's all we know about Tim Duncan. It's not saying that this is wrong. It's just saying that that's all we know. That's all we know. 610-632-0975. Interesting. Tim Duncan. I'm not opposed to that. I'm not opposed to much. The only one. Here's my thing with the Mark Jackson before anybody else says Mark Jackson. I've never said Mark Jackson couldn't coach and didn't do a nice job with the Golden State Warriors, because he clearly did a fantastic job with them. Steve Kerr came in, put his touches on it, and then boom, they took off. So Mark Jackson clearly gets credit for what happened early on with the Golden State Warriors. At some point, you have to stop giving him the credit and give Steve Kerr his and the players, the front office, their props as well. Never said that I didn't think he could coach. Outside of that, I don't really have a problem with anyone. If you throw a name at me, maybe I'll have I don't like that one. But right now, the names that we've heard, I don't have a problem with anyone. I don't have a problem with anyone, including Mike D'Antoni. Not my first choice, like Matt just said, but I'm not against it if it happens, because there was a reason they did it. Not just to fill the void of naming a head coach and having someone sit on the bench. There's an idea. There's an agreement there, a vision that the front office and the head coach has for this team, led by Simmons and Embiid. The other pieces, they'll figure that out. I hope. But I'm not mad at it. 610-632-0975. Devon Givens with you until 10 here on 97.5. The Fanatic. Barrett Brooks at 8:05. The Fanatic football pool at 8 o'clock right here on the Fanatic. Max in Allentown. What's up, Max?
Hey, I'm still laughing about hearing Tim Duncan's name.
It's not the first time, though.
Yeah, I mean, he would quit, because all due respect to Duncan, he has quit. Too much class.
I knew you were going to say that.
Work ethic to work with these guys. I mean, let's be honest. Embiid needs a tutor like that guy that Byram or whatever his name was that got hurt playing bowling. He tore his knee playing.
Andrew Bynum.
That should be his mentor, because they had the same type of mindset. I'm sorry, but that's my opinion. I think Embiid is just a lost cause at this point.
No, I have my issues with the things that Embiid does sometimes, his approach to the game, the respect for the game.
Right.
I think he loves the game, but his approach to it,
right,
it bothers me. Yes.
Good guy, but just the mindset. But I digress. I'd like to talk about the Eagles.
Sure,
now,
sure.
At the beginning of the season, you didn't agree with me, and that's fine. You have your opinion. You said I have my opinion. Eagles 7-9 this year. I said they had the talent of a 5-11 team, but we'll go 7-9.
Yeah.
Because I have to adapt.
You have to adjust it.
Yes, they have the talent of a 3-win team, and they will go 5-11 this year.
I see. I was more on your side the other day, Max. I said they had the look of a 6-10 team.
Well, glad we're coming around.
I'm coming around.
Yes, because it's obvious. Now, I've seen this regression. Now, I've never been a fan of Howie Roseman. Since 2010, I thought the guy, you know, was, and this might make people mad. I think he was a privilege hire. I think, you know, he did not earn that position and still hasn't earned it. In 10 years, he's had one good year as a GM. Okay.
And everything worked.
Everything did. And it was like, yeah, a broken clock is right twice a day. And I think that was a symptom with Howie Roseman. Now, he cannot remain in charge of player personnel. The sample size is too great in the failure department. This team has horrific talent. They're being exposed. And Doug Peterson's a decent coach. Okay. And Carson Wentz is a decent quarterback. But let's be honest, this isn't their fault. This is Howie Roseman. This team is constructed around and accept what we got. It's an absolute aberration to be an Eagles fan right now and see Howie Roseman at the helm. He needs to be removed, and a football guy needs to be put in that position. He could do the money, by all means. He can manage my accounting portfolio. In that regard.
Yep.
But we call a spade a spade. And enough is enough. I hope Eagles fans, instead of questioning the narrative, okay, oh, well, you know, you're a hater. No, I'm a realist. Philadelphia fans are tough. We're supposed to be knowledgeable. I don't see it anymore. I see a bunch of participation award people that just want to get on the bandwagon and be a part of something that's a winner. Well, hey, that's not what they are anymore. Toughen up. Admit what we are and get rid of the cancer. And that's Howie Roseman.
I can't be mad at it, Max. Oh, I cannot be mad at it at all. Great call, man. Thanks so much. Good to hear from you. I can't. Coming around on the 6-10 right now, that's what they look like. That could change in the next few weeks. But as of right now, that's where it stands for me. But I can't be mad at you when you say Howie Roseman, because his drafts have been terrible. He's hit on some things. You're absolutely right. I gave him credit for adding Darius Slay. Thought the Javon Hargrave idea was really good as well. I did. But I cannot disagree with you that he is part of the problem. If they have a problem, he is part of the problem as well. And they do have a problem. So I'm not even going to say if. They do have a problem. The problem is they're not good. He is the man in charge of this team and putting it together. We're speaking about Elton Brand putting things together and Mike D'Antoni and his system and the construction of the roster here. Well, Howie Roseman put together a team, and it's not working. It's not working at all. Not identifying and paying and addressing the linebacker position is criminal. Okay? Taking that quarterback in the second round still. Bad idea for me. Don't like it. Didn't like it at the time. Still do not like it. So I can't be mad at you right there with that one, Mac. I mean, I can't. 610-632-0975. He put this thing together. He did. Sean in Newark, next on the Fanatic. Sean, how you doing?
Hi. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, man. What's going on with you?
I was going to go back to the D'Antoni thing.
Sure.
I mean, I'm from Philly, but I spent 10 years living in New York, and I happened to be in New York during the time that he was hired there and during his time there.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a little bit like about what it's going to be like when he comes in. And the one thing that
you said,
I
when he comes in, you must really believe he's coming in.
Well, if he is, I think he's going to come in and he's going to run his system, which means that either Embiid is going to go on a diet to try to look like Michael Phelps, or that's going to be the guy that's going to be moving out real quick. And then he'll have Simmons running his offense with, you know, four shooters around it.
Well, I agree with that one. I said last night that I thought that if he did arrive here in town to be the head coach, this is Ben Simmons' team.
Yeah, he's not going to change. That was my point. Everywhere he's gone, he's run the exact same system. And if the personnel doesn't fit, that's not my problem. That's the GM's problem. And when he went to New York, although, you know, it said, when I'm going to mention Stephon Marbury, you know, I know about all the other baggage, but he came in after they had all those incidents with, like, Isaiah Thomas and all the behind-the-scenes stuff. And the idea was a fresh start. And Stephon Marbury at that time dedicated himself to coming in with a clean start, with a new coach. And he came in the best shape of his career, and everyone agreed. Like, they were stunned. Like, his teammates saw him, and he was ripped, like, and no body fat. Like, and he had been working out like crazy all summer, and he was saying all the right things. And Deion Tonnen wouldn't play him. And no matter what he did, Marbury wouldn't say anything. He goes, well, I understand coaches, you know, he's a new coach. He's got to figure out his guys and get his system, and I support coach 100%. And he wouldn't say anything derogatory, and he'd come to every game, but this went on week after week. And then finally it got to the point where you realize he's never going to play him. So what the hell is the point of this? He's the best player on the team, and you're not going to play him at all. And it turned out they had pass baggage from before when he was in Phoenix. But the point was, he's like, nah, he doesn't fit my system, and that's what's going to happen in Philly. He's going to come in, put his system in, and then I don't think Embiid's going to fit it.
Well, I hope that's not the case. I hope Embiid, number one, takes it seriously and making sure he's in the right shape. And then I hope D'Antoni, the conversation coming in with Elton Brand is, all right, right now, Joel Embiid is my best player. How are you going to make this work with him? How are you also going to make it work with Simmons? And if it's not right, then you can't do it.
Yeah, if I could say one quick thought on Embiid, if I could have one sentence to say to Embiid as an old man, if he just did one thing, he would be the greatest player in the world, and that is just dedicate himself to measuring his body fat, like with all their scientists or whatever, and every week try to get that lower and lower. And if he could get that down, like to where he was like a Michael Phelps or like a Giannis, he would absolutely be the best player in the world. He would fly up and down the court like he did during his rookie years when he first got here, but he would have the experience that he does now, and he would just own everybody in the league. He'd be dropping those 40s and 20s every night.
And we know it, man. We know it.
That's the only thing he needs to do. He doesn't even need to play basketball. Just spend 3 months going on one of those 90 fitness day things where you're trying to sculpt your body and get all body fat off it for 90 days. Don't play any basketball. Then come in, and now let's see what you can do. And he would just dominate.
He would.
Player in the world.
And then think about this, too. If he does want to run his system, D'Antoni, and he's here, and Embiid is still here, and he's in that great shape that you're speaking of, think about how many threes he would allow him to take, too, from time to time, with just the natural flow of what that offense does.
Well, the thing is, Embiid would be so dominating flying up and down the court, he wouldn't need to take
them. No, not need them. That would just be a luxury, being able to do it, because he can do it. And the fact that in that offense, the big is not, you know, you're not being told you cannot do it either, because he does shoot it at a decent enough clip. So, man,
he just needs to get sculpted. He has a nice, he's not fat for a regular human being.
No.
But for a world-class athlete, he's not, like, he needs to be like Michael Phelps, like a world-class athlete, like an Olympian.
Let's see what he does. Beyond. Let's see what he does. I'm tired of hearing about the talk, Sean. Yeah. I want to see the action. Thanks, man.
I
you
hope
got
he
it.
Does. Hopefully he's listening.
Let's hope so. Thanks, man. Have a good one. Appreciate it. 610-632-0975 on the other side. That's right. Qualifying someone. Someone will be qualified. Barrett Brooks at 805. Andrew as well. And everybody behind Andrew, 610-632-0975. Devon Givens. We'll be right back right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens. On 97.5. The Fanatic. The Fanatic.
801-975 The Fanatic, 610-632-0975 as we broadcast from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10. Tyler Zuli is producing the show. Bear Brooks in a few minutes. And it's almost that time to play the Fanatic football pool, folks, presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook. So call the contest line right now at 215-263-0975, 215-263-0975. Be the fifth caller, and you will win $100 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Then we'll ask you a simple football trivia question. If you get it right, we'll put you in a grand prize drawing to win the Fanatic football pool and everything in it. You want to know what's in it? Let me tell you what's in it. Physique Round Barbecue and Fire Pit from Landis Block. A talking teddy bear from the movie Ted 2. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 for PS4. 4-year supply of snacks from Hers Snack Foods. Everything, I think. everything. But a four-year supply. Jamie Lynch's James Thrash bobblehead doll, a Poulan Pro PR 100 21-inch snowblower from Paul B. Moyer & Sons. It's about to start getting cold. Might have to use that later on in the winter. The Godfather trivia game. Peter Laviolette, former Flyers head coach, autographed mini helmet, and $1,000 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. We're adding prizes all the time. The Fanatic Football Pool is presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Call the contest line right now, 215-263-0975. And then we'll get the fifth caller. They'll win that $100 automatically. We will then throw the question at them and see where they are for tonight's question and answer to see if they qualify and win that money, win that cash, $100, and then qualify for you know what, all those things that we just gave you. So you know what is all those prizes, all right? 610-632-0975. Barrett Brooks will join us in a few minutes. So we'll get Barrett in as well to talk to him about the birds and everything that's going to happen this weekend with the Cincinnati Bengals. I hope they can win this game. I really do. Because I have to be honest with you, I'm afraid of Joe Burrow. I am. I watched him play last week on Thursday night football game a week ago tonight. He was fantastic. They lost. He didn't turn the ball over, though. He had 3 touchdowns. A clutch one at the end wasn't enough, 30 points. But man, that guy's tough. He is really, really good. The Birds have to be on their game. They cannot afford, understatement, right, to go 0-3 to start this football season, because I don't know if they're good enough to turn things around after that. So we'll talk to Barrett in a few minutes. But right now, it is 8:05.
This is the Fanatic Football Pool.
Ah, look at that. So when you hear the cheesy music, the game show music, it is time for the Fanatic Football Pool and see if we can give something away here. Let's bring up caller number 5 here on the contest line. That is Jack in Roxborough joining us here. Jack, congratulations. You are now the 5th caller and you already won $100, so you're $100 richer from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Congratulations to that, Jack.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. That's awesome.
Ah, no problem, man. Spend it wisely. I'm okay to borrow a dollar from you, too. Don't be afraid to let me borrow a dollar. So now I'm going to ask you a simple football trivia question. If you get the answer correct, Jack, you will be put into the drawing to win the grand prize of the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it. Are you familiar with all the things in it?
Some of them, yeah. That fire pit sounds pretty awesome. Bunch of stuff in there now.
Yeah, a snowblower has been added to the mix as well, right? So
yeah,
you have a lot of things in there. And, of course, $1,000 as well. So can't beat that. All right, here we go. We're going to ask you a question. And we'll see if you get it right. If you get it right, you know where you are. If you get it wrong, you walk away $100 richer. So here's the question, Jack. Who is the Eagles' all-time leader in points scored?
Points scored. I'm going to go Akers.
There you go, Jack. You got it right, hey, my man. You went a little off the beaten path and went with the kicker. David Akers is the Philadelphia Eagles career leader in points scored with 1,323 points. Jack, great pull, man.
There you go. All right, man. I figured it'd probably be the kicker. So, and Akers been around for forever.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, listen, man, again, you're now in the running for the grand prize of the Fanatic Football Pool and everything in it, including that $1,000 from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. The Fanatic Football Pool is presented by Parks Casino and Sportsbook, Pennsylvania's number one casino. Gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. Congratulations, Jack.
Thank you, man.
You got it, man. Hang on. Tyler is going to speak with you. Hang on for just 1 minute and spend that money wisely. And good luck later on.
Thanks, brother,
with that grand prize. You got it, man. Thanks so much. We'll put you on hold. And again, Jack in Roxborough, $100. Love it. Love it. I'm telling you guys, our streak so far, we are now 9 days in. This is our ninth day. I will say we are 6-3 with winners and losers. 6 winners, 3 people, unfortunately, who did not win the win and, of course, get themselves into the running for the grand prize. So congratulations, Jack. Add it to the mix now of the winners. Now let's see who comes up. I hope whoever wins it, you know I'm rooting for whoever won on our show here in the 8 o'clock hour. Fantastic giveaway. So once again, you heard all those things. So it's just that easy. You hear it every night. This is what we do at 8 o'clock and throughout the day. If you can't call in during the during our show at 8 o'clock, you can certainly do so throughout 3 other times during the day, 8 a.m., noon, 4 p.m., and be the 5th caller, and you'll win $100 cash from Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Then we'll ask the trivia question and give away that money. So that is beautiful. So, guys, listen, hang on. Andrew, Sean, Drew, Ali, hang on, because right now we do have to go to the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast and check in with our weekly guest at 8 o'clock every Thursday from NBC Sports Philadelphia, the pre- and post-game show, Quick Slants. My brother, Barrett Brooks, joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. B. Brooks.
Man, I appreciate you having me on again. Unfortunately, we're under bad times, bad quarterback play, bad team play. It's just a bad 2 weeks for me right now, man.
Bad, man. So we heard you a little bit last night with Jaws, back on the Jaws show, Ron Jaworski show, at Burns Honda. And a fantastic listen, of course. But as you said, man, we're talking now. We thought we would be 1-1 at least at this point. The Birds are now 0-2. Barrett, what happened? Let's start off just overall with the team last week. What happened?
And just basic fundamentals, man. Nobody's going out there and holding themselves accountable for just doing basic things. You know what I mean? Just little things. Like if your coverage is man-to-man, as a DB, as a linebacker, or whoever, if you have a man on man-to-man coverage, if your man goes to the sideline, picks up a Gatorade, you got to hand him a cup. You have to be there right with him. If he goes over there and wipes sweat off, you got to hand him a towel. In man-to-man coverage, you stick your man and stop trying to do everybody else's job and do your job. Make sure you're accountable for what you do. And this team is not doing it. You know, I mean, on the old crap screen, you know, I know you can't say what it really is, but, you know, linebacker is supposed to have the tight end man-to-man. What happens? The linebacker looks into the backfield, being nosy, trying to figure out what's going on, instead of holding his guy. You know, you have to be accountable for your guy. Do what you're supposed to do in the scheme. You're told to cover the tight end. I don't care what else happens. Cover that tight end. The tight end's trying to block you, you got him. But if the tight end runs away, you got to be running away with him. You got to be in the same pocket. And at this point, they're not doing that. You have to make sure you do that. My guy, Roman Coleman, I mean, he's one of the better slot corners in the league. Had a bad game. Trying to do more than he was supposed to do. If you have a guy man-to-man, you got to be in his hip pocket. You know, I mean, it comes down to just basic fundamental play. I didn't see any of that, but with the exception of the offensive line. And I think it's because they took things seriously about everybody talking about them not being up against this Rams defensive line, and especially going against Aaron Donald. They heard all the naysayers and everybody telling them what they can't do. And what do? They go out and play an excellent game against the best defensive player in the league. Those guys played well. They took the challenge and ran with it. But everybody else, I don't think they were on the same page. And it showed up in their game. You know, you just can't afford to do that. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to just, you know, talk about certain guys. That's why I try to leave it to just
the overall defense. Yeah.
Yeah, but you just got to do it. And then Coach Schwartz, he fell on the sword for him. So I'll definitely see a different type of style of play this next week. Not as far as what the play calling will be, but it'll just be the effort of what guys do things. Because once they see a coach that cares enough for you to fall on the sword and take it and say, hey, it's my fault, those guys know they got to produce now because their coach took what they were supposed to get. They were supposed to get cussed out, but yet he said it was my fault. So you're gonna see an extra step and an extra pep the way they play, bro.
But why, Barrett, as you talk about that, Barrett Brooks again from NBC Sports Philly joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline every Thursday, 8 o'clock. Why is it that, as you said, getting ready for this one, you'll see that extra pep in their step? When you lost to the Washington football team in week 1, where you were the favorite, you were supposed to beat that team into the ground, you lost that one. How are you going to come into this particular game against the LA Rams where you do not have what you're saying getting ready for week number three and week number two? How do you overlook that?
Hopefully they got pushed out of a spot and understand, look, you are not all you're cracked up to be.
Yep.
I think this team was looking as though they were better than what they were. And you're only as good as your last game. You're only as good as your last play. I know as a you know, being on a championship team, we practiced that way. We prepared ourselves that way. We knew at the end of the day, we played against the best player across from us in practice. When I got into the game, it was easy. I mean, it was one of those things where I knew I was going against the best nose guard in the league when I was going against Casey Hampton in practice with Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger knew he was going against the best safety in the league when he was going against Troy Polamalu. You know, our cornerbacks knew that they were going against one of the best receivers when they were practicing against, you know, Hines Ward. And once you get that mentality in your head to saying that, all right, my team is the best team and I'm playing with the best players on the team, you go out on Sunday and it's easy. I think this team got lulled into thinking they were more than what they were. They had too much swag instead of going out there and working their butts off and putting themselves in a position to be that way. It takes work, man. It works on fundamentals. See, football is football is football, no matter what, you know, what age you are, what level of play you're in. If you're a Pop Warner football, you do the same daggone drills you do in the NFL and at the pro level. You're still going out there blocking the sled. You're still going out there, you know, setting. You're doing everything that, what college dudes do in the NFL. It's no different. It's just a different terminology and it's different, you know, level of playing that you play against. You look at the speed of the game. It goes faster, but you're still using those same basic fundamentals to play the game. And I think this team got a little bit past that, thinking they were better than what they were. Hopefully they came back down to earth and know that it's hard work and dedication is what's the way you work, win games.
Gotcha, man. Now they have some other things again up against them. If they didn't already have some issues, now more with the announcement that Jalen Reagor is going to be out just for a little bit. Derek Gunn saying maybe it will not be as long as people think. It could only be 3 weeks, maybe for those three games. So what do they do now with Reagor now out? Where do you look to? Is it on the outside, do you go with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? Do you lean back to your rookie and your other rookie in that place, John Hightower? What do they do at the wide receiver position opposite DeSean Jackson?
Well, first off, they're going to stick with their best personnel package, and that's 12 personnel, one running back, two tight end. Mm-hmm. But that tight end combo, you know, it gives you the autonomy right now to have your best skill set on the team. Those guys are big playmakers, and that's where they get their big plays from. So you're going to go with that, which means you only need to replace two receivers out there. You got D-Jax on one side, and then those guys have to battle to see who's going to be the guy opposite. I mean, you have J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. You got Greg Ward Jr. You got John Hightower. Those guys got to go out there and really make an impact and gain Carson's trust. Right now, he's not trusting his own self, let alone trusting a receiver. And the only way you could do that is going out there and making plays, going back to basics, running routes the way you're supposed to. Your comeback is supposed to be 12 yards when you come back. Hit it at 12 yards coming back. Carson get the ball out on time. You know, it'll work. But until they go back to basic fundamental football, I can't see them getting any better than what they are right now. You know, so, you know, whoever it is, I think he has a lot of confidence in Greg Ward Jr. I know he has a hell of a lot of confidence in going with J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. He has to step up. This is his second year in the NFL. He had a lot of playing time last year. He can't be that afterthought to Carson. He has become that big-time player for him. And this is an opportunity he needs to use. You know, I took the opportunity in my rookie year to start and be a starter for the Eagles for 4 years. You have to do that. If you don't take the opportunity, somebody else will take it. And right now, if he doesn't, those young guys they just brought in, they could be, you know, impact players. You know, Greg Ward Jr. can run away with it if he goes out there and reaffirms himself with Carson and those guys get that same chemistry they had last year. So it's all about them going out and getting that chemistry and just working your butt off, making sure you're noticed, not just in practice, but when game time comes, you're doing what you're supposed to do and making yourself available for Carson.
Barrett Brooks joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. B, as we look ahead to the Cincinnati Bengals, again, a lot of issues with the Birds coming into this game 0-2. So are the Cincinnati Bengals. But, man, while they have their issues, they also have something that with a bright future in their quarterback for years to come, Joe Burrow, coming in, man, he looks good. So what are you looking at for this team? Again, pepping their step. But they have some they have their work cut out against them with Joe Burrow opposite them.
Absolutely. And the thing with Joe Burrow, he's gained the confidence of his team and those veterans on the team look to him now as being a leader on that team. You know, anytime you can get A.J. Green, who was a guy that's trying to get out, he's been trying to get out there for the last 3 years. He did everything possible to get out of there. I mean, he was injured. He said, hey, I'm not coming back. He still came back. But Joe Burrow went to camp. He rolled with Joe Burrow a little bit, and he's changed his whole outlook on what it is to be a Cincinnati Bengal. You know, he wants to play for this young guy and go out there and make plays for him. And, you know, you look at Joe Burrow, he took a city on top of his shoulders, a city that's used to losing, and giving them guys hope. You know, he did the same thing when he was in college. You know, he left Ohio State, went to LSU, won a national championship, won a Heisman Trophy. He's got people believing in him. And all you need is somebody to believe in each other. And that team could be really, really good. They go out there and keep executing for him. As he gets better and learning what it is to be an NFL pro, that team's going to get a lot better also. And if they can get that kid to buy in and everybody is buying into that kid, they could be a major threat to us on Sunday. Because even though they're 0-2, they were in those games. They were fighting in those games. And I think at this point, the Eagles need to gain that confidence back of saying, all right, we're a pretty good team. But at this point, they don't have that. They got to go out and show it. So defense has to play defense the way it's supposed to, understanding what they're supposed to do. Don't do anything else but your job. Do your assignments. Offensively, they get Carson toward in the right direction. Where Carson goes, this team goes. So everybody needs a little confidence, but it's back to basics. That should be the theme of this entire week for this team. Back to basics.
Well, listen, man, we appreciate the time as always. If I had to ask you for a prediction, what would it be? Will we be talking about a 1-2 team next week, next Thursday?
Well, you know what? I mean, I really think, you know, with the defense getting put in the corner like that their coach being like, all right, I did it. It's my fault. I think you'll get a better effort out of them, and I think they'll put a little heat on this rookie quarterback, and I think the tides will change as far as how defensively they go out there and play the game. And then also think that Carson will, you know, take a step in the right direction. You know, get the ball out on time, making sure, you know, maybe they can have a kiss technique, you know. You know, Jaws said, you know, yesterday, maybe they should have the kiss technique. You know, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
Get 10 plays and run those 10 plays to perfection. Instead of getting all fancy and everything, just do what you do best. Do those 10 plays, go out there, get this W, and get a port in the right direction. Because if they don't, I'm telling you right now, they're no longer fighting for a playoff spot if they're 0-3. Now they're fighting for the best place in the draft. You can just cancel this season and call it over. We should be looking for a next draft pick if they lose this next game.
Yeah, all right. Well, let's end this one on a different note quickly. You know, you're my brother. We talk hoops all the time, man. The Sixers still do not have a coach.
But
what do you think?
I think Tyronn Lue, he's a guy that we should get. I don't know if he can go out there and really, you know, be that demanding coach that I think these young guys, well, they're not young anymore, that these guys need. You know what I'm saying? Can Ben Simmons take criticism? You know, can Joel take criticism? That's what we need. We need guys to go out there, put their feelings aside, and understand they're playing for a team. And then D'Anthony, what's his name? D'Antoni?
Mike D'Antoni.
I don't know if we want him here either, you know what I'm saying? Because I don't know if his style of play necessarily mixes what we got. You got to be a scoring type of team to have him as a coach. And I don't think we have that type of, unit here. You know, defensively, tough defense, and scoring on turnovers, I think that's the type of team we have here. So I think Tyronn Lue's the guy we need to go with.
All right, B, well, you're on record. Tyronn Lue for you, man. Listen, we'll talk to you next week. Make sure you guys check in to Barrett on NBC Sports Philadelphia this weekend for the pre- and post-game. It's always a blast watching B with the guys on the set on NBC Sports Philly and Quick Slants every night, 6 o'clock, right, B?
Well, hey, we're on Thursday nights now.
Thursday, yep, absolutely, man. Well, listen, thanks so much, man, as always, and we'll check in with you next week.
Can't wait, man. Hopefully we 1-2 instead of looking for a higher draft pick, bro.
No doubt. All right, man, we'll talk to you. Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot.
Got it. Barrett Brooks joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. All right, Andrew, hang on. We got you first. And then we go with Drew and Sean and Ali and Brian and Mitch, 610-632-0975. And a little Joel Embiid news when we get back right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone to Vaughn Gibbons on 97.5, The Fanatic. 97.5, The Fanatic.
A31 97.5, The Fanatic. Thanks to Bear Brooks for joining us here on this Thursday night, like he does each and every night. Thursday night, each week, right here on 97.5, The Fanatic. So if you guys want to get in with us, 610-632-0975. We got a lot of people waiting, so we do want to get to them. And we appreciate Bear Brooks. Just quickly, the Embiid news that we teased really fast. Joel Embiid and his longtime girlfriend. You might have seen her at the games from time to time. Well, Joel Embiid and, what's her name? Anna. Oh, no, and DePaula, his longtime girlfriend. Joel Embiid announced on his Instagram account, that they are now two proud parents. The birth of his son, Arthur, with his longtime girlfriend, Anna DePaula. So congratulations to Joel Embiid and Anne as they welcome their son, Arthur. And if you remember the name Arthur, that is the name of his late younger brother who was killed tragically back home in Cameroon in a vehicle accident. I remember at the time, I think it was a vehicle accident. So, yeah. So congratulations to Joel Embiid and his girlfriend on the birth of their son, Arthur. So that's pretty cool. So all the stuff that we talk about, right? We get on them about this, we get on them about that. And then the real stuff comes into play and we know what it's all about. And something like this is obviously really big. So congratulations to them on the birth of their son. All right, 610-632-0975. Let's get back to the phones talking about the Sixers coaching situation, Carson Wentz and the Birds and everything else, the Phillies also right here on the Fanatic. Let's go to Andrew, who's been waiting patiently. Andrew, thanks for hanging on.
Good evening. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Well, congratulations to Joel Embiid and his girlfriend of having a son.
Absolutely. Yep.
So hopefully his son will be a better basketball player and he won't be able to shoot better than Joel. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. But my question is this, is that it seems like a lot of the players that we give over $100 million contracts to, Carson Wentz, Don McNabb, Bryce Harper, and help me out here, first baseman Phillies, Ryan Howard.
Oh, Ryan Howard. Okay.
Yeah, it just seems like all four of those players, when we give $100 million plus contracts to, they just don't seem to pan out and they don't seem to do well after they sign those $100 million contracts. Is that just me or is that what you think as well?
Well, for those particular ones, yeah, that is correct because we've seen how it has played out. So far for Carson Wentz, it has not been great. There's still time for him. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, they are still playing great basketball. Well, really good basketball. So we can't pin that on them right now. But we do want to see them and their team succeed a little bit more once they are rewarded with those contracts. So listen, man, I don't have a problem with the money overall. He is somebody that I thought deserved that contract. It was the right deal at the time. So let's see where it goes from here, man. I still have faith in him. It's starting to dwindle a little bit, but I still think Carson Wentz can turn things around.
Yep, and absolutely. And my second question, I'll let you go because I know a lot of our callers are waiting on patiently on the phone for you. I know Howie Long is getting a lot, or Howie Roseman is getting a lot of heat for being the GM. I'm not sure I've ever asked you this. Of all the four sports, is football the hardest GM to really pinpoint a draft, to a draft pick to really knock it down and beat? You know, because it seems like, you know, he's taking these draft picks and he's thinking and he's looking at these tapes of these players
right
in college, you know, and he's basing on, obviously, interviews with their coaches and with their parents and obviously probably with them as well.
Drew, I would say I would say no because when you look at baseball and hockey and the level of the younger players that they have to look and scout from high school players that they could potentially draft, the players in hockey, again, not going to college and playing for whatever league that they might be playing with, if it's over here in the States or if it's overseas. I would say baseball and hockey are the hardest ones, and football and basketball are the easier ones, in my opinion, Drew. Thanks for the call, man. Good question, though, at the end there. I would say no, and that's why we get on Howie Roseman. You have so many players to choose from. You have they are forced to stay in the school for three years, and so you have more of the scouting. It seems like you have more of an advantage, right? Even with basketball, they're coming out of high school. They're playing in some league overseas. They play 1 year in college. They're still very young, and while they are young in football, they seem to be more seasoned because of the level of college football that they've played, having to stay for 3 years. So I would say, yeah, I would say it's hockey and baseball. Tyler, what do you think quickly before we get to back to the phone? Do you think you think football is more one of the easier ones, where hockey and baseball are the tougher ones?
Yeah, I would say that football of the four major sports is probably the second easiest. And the reason that I say that is because I think...
Behind basketball?
I think that the NBA would be the easiest to scout because, remember, like we always talk about, one player makes the largest difference in the NBA. So if you draft well in the NBA, one player can do a lot. Imagine drafting two or three guys, a la the Miami Heat. They've drafted two or three guys now, and the Boston Celtics, the same reason. There's a reason these two teams are in the Eastern Conference Finals, because they draft well. And you start to hit there, that's probably the easiest one. But after that, it's probably football right after that, because like you said, there's enough college tape on these guys. You have to play, you know, minimum 2 years, but most of the guys, it's three.
Right.
So for me, I think that it is probably baseball would be my guess. Although I don't know how difficult it is to scout, you know, in the CHL and the ECHL and the QMJHL and all these other, you know, Canadian and European and all the minor league systems and the junior systems that happen in hockey. But for me, it's baseball because of the fact that you oftentimes go from metal bat to wood bat. You go from, you know, facing high school pitching to professional pitching, even if it is just minor leagues. Football to me is probably the second easiest one to get right.
Yeah, no question. Oh, you brought up Boston and Miami too.
They do it right, man.
Look at their rebuilds.
They do it right.
Look at their rebuilds. Drew in Westchester next on the Fanatic. What's up, Drew?
Hey, what's going on, Devon?
What's happening, man? All right.
Hey, man, I'm doing actually real well. I actually was the 4 o'clock winner for the $100 prize.
Did you qualify for the grand prize?
Yeah, I got the question right. It was a pretty easy one. It was, you know, what Eagle player was known as Weapon X and did the whole Wolverine thing? And I mean, it was pretty obvious. You know. Yeah, it was no brainer on that one.
Nice, so
it was a
man.
Nice layup for Mikey Mess.
Nice. Got a little $100 in your pocket.
Yeah, man. But I never thought I would be actually calling to talk about this subject, but I actually wanted to talk about the Phillies a little bit.
Yes, yes.
I've been kind of getting into them these last couple weeks. I mean, I was excited at the beginning of the season just because it was such a short season. I thought, okay, this can maybe, you know, keep my interest, a 60-game season, you know, as compared to a 162 season where, you know, I kind of get, you know, lost in doing other stuff. But I figured I could, you know, this could keep my attention, 60 games, and I kind of faded just because the bullpen was doing so horrible, so I kind of lost interest. But these last few games, you know, I've definitely been piquing my interest more so, and hopefully they can win these next three games and then, you know, get a little help from their friends and actually make the playoffs, which would be pretty cool because that would give, you know, another team, you know, Philly an opportunity in the postseason to make some noise. I mean, I don't think they'll do much, but it's Philly, you never know. It's postseason action.
This postseason action, but let me ask you this. In the event that they make the playoffs and you feel like Matt Klentak has done an awful job, do you feel like that saves his job if you wanted to move on from him in the front office position that he has?
Oh, man, that's a really great question. I hope not, you know, to be honest with you, because I definitely think they need better from their front office. So I'd like to put that more on the players just coming together and the coaching job that kind of got them over the hump more so than what Klentak did. So, I don't see it.
Okay. Yeah, because I hope that this, if they do make it, I want them to make it, but if they're knocked out in the first round, he should still be gone because he has not done a good enough job to keep his position there.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree 100%, Devon.
Yep. Well, listen, man. Right, man. Three games. Let's see what happens.
All right, buddy. Have a good night.
You as well. Thanks, man. Tyler, what do you think? Do you think that we'll get to Sean and Ali, Brian, Mitch? Three games, they make it, knocked out in the first round. Does it save his job making the playoffs?
Does it? Yes. I think it might.
So?
Nobody will be happy with that decision. But
Is it the right decision?
No, absolutely not. No, I still stand by what I said to you the other day, despite the fact that they might still make the playoffs. Because you asked me, do they make the playoffs? And I said, yes, I think they do. Somehow. I don't care. You know how you felt? You remember how you felt when we were talking about Brett Brown?
And making the finals.
You still let him go?
Yeah.
That's how I feel about Matt Klentak. If they make the World Series, we can talk. Anything short of that, and I'm out.
And you still believe they make it, okay.
Yeah, I do. And the reason being, Andrew Sauchunas brought up a good point. You know how much I love the Rays, but the Miami Marlins have three games with the Yankees, who have been just on a tear lately. You know, hitting, I think they have like, 40-something home runs this month. It's insane. But I have some kind of weird suspicion that they might get swept. So if you can find a way to
Miami.
Win, yes. If you can find a way to be 30-30, I think that gets you in. Well, I know that it would if Miami gets swept, because they would only have 28 wins.
That means it'll go the other way.
And the Phillies will get
swept. Yankees.
Oh, and they'll still make the playoffs.
Miami will sweep the Yankees.
Oh, man, I hope not.
Yep. 610-632-0975, Devon Givens. Here with you until 10, that's Tyler Zuli. 610-632-0975. If you've been trying to get in, the lines have been full. We have two open lines for the first time in a bit. The Giants did lose to the Rockies in extra innings today, so that means the Phillies are half a game back of San Francisco for the eighth seed, being managed by Gabe Kapler. Ha! Dwight Howard starting tonight.
Don't do that to me.
In place of JaVale McGee in game number 4, Nuggets-Lakers later on tonight. Dwight Howard starting for the Los Angeles Lakers. Let's go to Sean in Limerick next on the Fanatic. What's up, Sean?
What's up, Devon? How you doing tonight?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. I want to touch on my favorite subject with you, which is the Sixers. I want to jump on that coaching carousel in 1 second, but
sure.
I've been listening for a while tonight, and I've heard a couple people jump on Embiid about being in shape, and I want to make a clarification that somebody's played ball a lot and understands a lot what's going on here. Listen, Joel Embiid, yeah, could he lose a few pounds? That has nothing to do with what's happening on the court. It's game shape. Like, there's a difference. Joel Embiid can live in the gym all summer long or how fall long, whenever the season starts. He even done 2% body fat. But if he's not going to play games consistently, he's going to be winded. And that's what's happened in his career. He's in and out of the lineup. And when you're not playing regularly, you're not practicing regularly, you're not in game shape. And I think it comes more down to game shape than it comes down to his physical weight attributes.
And that's fair.
That's fair.
But here's my thing. He could still stand to lose 20, 25 pounds.
Absolutely. Listen, as a big men always need to lose weight, especially as they get older, so it takes less wear and tear off those joints, and he already has issues there, I agree. But I think he needs to play 68 to 70 games, and he needs to get his butt into the practice gym every once in a while and be getting up and down the court, and that'll help with the winding, I think, at least this point in his career.
Yep.
When we jump over to the coaching part, I'm baffled at this point with what the Sixers are looking to do. Listen, D'Antoni's cute, and it looks great in the regular season, and it's up and down, and it's exciting. We may win games 140 to 138, on a January night over at the Wells Fargo Center. That'll be great. He hasn't been able to put it together to win a championship. We saw what he did with the Rockets team this year, and for what it was, he decided to go that route, and he destroyed that team and made it look what it looked like. And if the rumor is even possibly true of bringing James Harden to this team, again, I don't want it with this team, with these players. James Harden sitting there pounding the ball for 20 seconds
yeah.
and then shooting with 2 seconds left on shot clock, I have no interest in that. I can't.
Yep.
I think we live in a here and now world where we need it yesterday. Like, Michael Jordan won his first championship at 28. I've said it like three or four times, are you 29? Like, these guys still have a couple years here where I don't want to give up. I don't want to see Ben Simmons go somewhere and be all world and look at this guy and be like, man, we gave up on it. Well, there's too many times we've done that. We've given up on players too early.
Yeah.
I think this front office needs to be smart with the coaching hire. And I would rather see Chris Paul here for 2 years and give these guys some actual leadership. And he doesn't need the ball in his hands. He can pass the ball. He can get 10 points a game and still be a difference maker for this team. I want somebody like that in the locker room to help guide these young guys. And, you know, you got to go out and get a couple spacers. They got to figure out a way yeah. to make a trade. And there's a bunch of turn things, a bunch, you know, whatever it looks like. Bring in a couple shooters to surround this team with. But I want no parts of D'Antoni and him trying to tinker with this team and destroy it, in my opinion. And no parts of James Harden at all.
Yeah, and quickly, as far as the D'Antoni part goes for you, when you said, you know, changing the lineup up in Houston, I believe that was more Daryl Morey with the analytics and how he likes to do things. So I think the change in deciding to go small was more with D'Antoni than it was, pardon me, with Morey than it was D'Antoni. In my opinion, I don't know that for sure. That's just a guess for me.
It could have been, but my thing is with him too, is it's all offense and no defense. And look, I mean, when it comes down to
that's why I said
playoffs,
they have to have a very good defensive coach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I don't know if
he does nothing there. He needs a defensive yeah. coach to make sure that they do their part.
And I think we got to stop looking away from the big names all the time too. Like, look at Mike Malone in the Nuggets organization. Like, you don't need to have a Tyronn Lue. You don't need somebody who was on a team with LeBron. Like, just make the right hire for that fits with this team.
Yeah.
Obviously accountability, and obviously somebody that's going to use the balance of analytics as well as what you're seeing on the court. Because the coaches today that are going to be successful take the analytics information, but also look at what they see in practice and on the court and make decisions in their gut. And I think we don't always have to go with the sexy name. There's plenty of people out there that we probably haven't even heard about yet that could coach this team. And I just like to see them make small adjustments to make this team better. And I think that, you know, that would make a world of difference.
You got it, man. Listen, Sean, thanks so much, man. Great stuff as always. We'll talk once they do hire that coach, man. We'll see where they
absolutely
are.
Absolutely, Devon.
You got it, Sean. Night, take man. Care, man. Appreciate it. Thank you. You as well. 610-632-0975. Maybe there is a guy that we haven't been mentioning. That's the choice. I'm still not counting Tyronn Lue out.
Devon, if there's a guy that we've not mentioned that's the choice, they went somewhere, you know, like there's option A, B, and C.
Uh-huh.
They chose option like W.
Well,
because we've said, not just saying like, not even guys that I like or guys that you like or guys that callers like. Legitimately, we've had on Twitter and on the phones and between the two of us.
Every name
possible.
Sure. All the way to, what was my man's name in Cleveland when they let him go?
Mike Brown?
No, for Tyronn Lue. David Blatt.
Oh, David Blatt.
David Blatt. We've had that as well.
We did get Mike Brown too.
We got Mike Brown as well. But Keith put that out there also, Keith Pompey of the Enquirer, that there was some interest that they might speak to him also. So that's something. But I mean, hey, David Vanderpool, that's a name potentially with Minnesota. He was with Portland, helped to really get CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard to where they were already going to be that probably, right? They were probably already going to be that because the talent was there. But they credit him for helping them and their success as well. And so we'll see. We'll see. See if there's a name out there that we haven't thought of. Ali in West Philly next on the Fanatic. Ali.
Hey, what's up, Devon?
What's going on?
First time caller for me, but long time listener.
I appreciate it.
I'm going to start off with the Sixers, saying basically we should blow up the front office, and that would probably include Elton at this time. And get somebody in there, like the guy that went for the job when Colangelo was found out, which was Chauncey Billups, was it? Or even somebody like Isaiah Thomas. This just being abstract.
Sure.
So, but yeah, as far as the coach go, you got to let the front office pick it. If Tyronn Lue is their best choice, I'm a ride or die with a Sixers fan, but I don't like it.
Yeah, it's not my first choice, but understanding that he does have a championship underneath his belt, been to three of them as a coach, and certainly the ones that he had as a player as well, he knows what it is and what it takes to win. So I can't argue that when it's just a matter of does it work with Embiid and Simmons, whatever he brings in.
Yeah, true. Out of the three of the four teams that we have, nobody seems to have fire but one of them. And that's another problem. We're a bunch of nice guys now and model citizens where we don't have those players that they, Howie Roseman, would deem have a character flaw, or let's say the fans. So we don't want them. Don't give them a second chance. And those guys be the players. So that's another point. I don't know why they pick that way.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of it, number one, had to do with Brett Brown not wanting to coach that type of personality. So we'll see if that changes with the new coach that comes in here, because I do know that Elton Brand does not mind a player with some fire to him, albeit Mike Scott is what Mike Scott is for this team and the role that he plays in the league overall. Again, the toughness is there, and that's something that Elton Brand wanted on the team.
Yeah, that sounds good. So as far as the Eagles go, I'm optimistic as the squad, but Joe Burrow is probably going to chop up Schwartz's defense so we can get him out of here.
Yeah, that's one that's interesting because he normally has success against rookie or young quarterbacks. This dude is different, right? Yeah. He was the number one pick for a reason. He is different. That guy is good, man.
Yeah. So I'm going to end it. Here's the thing. If we do change Schwartz, I like the guys that knew the 46 defense. If you can get any of them as the coordinator or on as a defensive something linebacker coach or something, and Deuce should have been our offensive coordinator. That's our problem.
Yeah, I thought they should have let him take that job as well. Ali, listen, man, don't be a stranger. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Good talking to you for the first time, man. Have a good night. 610-632-0975. On the other side, we'll get to Brian and Mitch. Couple open phone lines. We get the Twitter as well. Touch a little bit more on the Phillies also with their chances of making the postseason. Devon Givens, Tyler Zuli is producing. We're here until 10, 9 o'clock hour upcoming right here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Man, things are going quickly here. 97.5 The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio. Only from Comcast, Devon Givens with you. And the 9 o'clock hour, our final hour, 25 minutes commercial free here. And Tyler Zuli is producing the show as well, 610-632-0975. So just quickly on the birds again, this Jalen Reagor thing. We talked to Barrett about it. We know they're going to go 12 personnel with the two tight ends, but man, I do not have faith yet in Hightower, and I certainly do not have faith in J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. Greg Ward, I trust him with the ball. I really do. I trust him with the ball. But the others, I don't, it's just not there for me. It really isn't. 610-632-0975. Let's go back to the phones. People have been waiting patiently, so let's check in and get everybody an opportunity here. We will go to Brian at Plymouth Meeting and check in here on The Fanatic. What's up, B?
Yo, D. How's it going this evening?
Good, thank you.
So congratulations to Joe and his girls. Condolences to all the Philadelphia owners who I don't know how they make it. They're going to make ends meet paying out these $100 million contracts to players. I mean, I think I saw John Middleton panhandling when I just got on 95. These people crack me up, man. It's like, especially Ryan Howard. Like, he won the MVP and hit 58 home runs, getting paid like $900,000.
Yeah, he deserves every bit of that contract.
He made those guys hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, you know. And a million of that was my beer purchases at CBP over that run. I just don't get these people. I mean, I feel sorry, like, when you're just, like, that focused on money these athletes make. I mean, the scarce thing in life is time, not money. You can't be wasting your time worrying about what other people are making. And it has nothing to do with The salary cap teams, yes, it does. But even with Wentz.
But that's only when we have to talk about the salary cap. A lot of times when we hear people talk about money, it's because they're just simply not worth the contract. We talk about the salary cap because of how it impacts the moves that they can make overall. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, it just comes across like jealousy most of the time. And like I was going to say, when Howie puts his trade Wentz plan into effect after the season, that signing bonus with $30 million or whatever, that's essentially they're going to be using that to buy draft picks from another team because that's money that the other team does not have to spend on the quarterback that the Eagles already spent. So, that'd be great. Let's do Eagles real fast and then we'll go up on basketball. I don't get the Joe Burrow. I mean, I missed the first half of the last game, but watching the second half, I mean, it was just check down Charlie. He was just racking up yards and touchdowns, just moving down the field on a team that was, trying to protect a 2-score lead. I didn't see anything particularly, I didn't see any like one thing that he did that I was like, wow. I mean, he can move a little bit, but he's not even Carson Wentz in terms of escapability and whatnot. And it says something for him that he's not trying to push the ball and throw an interception. But, I mean, he just looked like a game manager to me.
Well, game manager, didn't turn the ball over. A couple of deep throws that he did have, especially the one touchdown. I can't remember who he threw it to in the corner of the end zone.
I guess it was in the first half, and I missed him.
Yeah, he hit somebody in the corner of the end zone, and it was a beautiful throw, Brian. So he looks good, man. He really looks good.
Well, I mean, it's not going to take much to beat this Eagles team. I keep hearing people talking him up, and I'm like, I'm just not sure what that's about. And then moving on to D'Antoni. I mean, D'Antoni's not a analytics guy. Like, he's run and gun.
Right, that's why I said it was Daryl Morey, not him analytically.
Right, and he just found a guy in Morey who, used the analytics to justify the way that D'Antoni wanted to play anyway.
Right.
And I was really, I said my piece I thought last night, but then I saw that John Clark tweet today, and I'm like, what? That's the plan? We're going to hire a coach to get an aging James Harden in 2 years?
And that cannot be a motivation.
That's the way this team is thinking, Devon. I'm almost ready to give up. Like, our brain trust is broken, and they're going to just screw up this whole thing. And this is going to be my last year as a season ticket holder. I mean, that's crazy. And I got no problem with Harden, but can you imagine watching Harden and Embiid play on the same team, foul hunting to the tune of 60 free throws? I mean, I'm always going to watch the Sixers, but that would be borderline unwatchable in terms of trying to create an exciting product and put people in the seats. Like, that's crazy. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it does not. I would not like that. Again, that cannot be your thought process when you're making this decision. You should be able to try to get guys at any point, right? You figure you do it well enough, your team wins, all that stuff. You hope that this is an attractive destination. I'm not going to look 2 years down the line with a coach who is going to be 71 and might not want to coach anymore.
Exactly. And you had a great call earlier, the guy, I guess he's a Knicks fan, that was talking about the Marbury situation,
yes,
which I did not realize. But that week, if D'Antoni or anybody else that comes in here with a prejudice against one of these two players that he's just going to move them out. Like, that's not acceptable. We need a guy who's got a plan to make these two work, not a guy who from the jump is trying to get rid of one of them.
Right. Right. Yeah. So listen, man, I can't wait to find out who they ultimately decide on, but I'm kind of impatient right now. I'm like, come on, can you guys just hire someone so we can start to figure out exactly what this team is going to look like? That's all.
Can we just get Dave Yeager in town so he can start agitating about the roster?
Oh, I love it. I love it. So he can tell the truth, huh? Hey, man, listen, we'll talk to you
later.
All right, man, appreciate it. Hey, listen, sometimes you say to coaches they can't say what they really want to say. Dave Yeager will say it. He'll give it to you.
If he comes to Philly, that guy's going to get fined like once a week.
That's all right.
As long as he wins, they'll pay it too.
That's all right. That's okay. As long as he gets his team to play the right way.
That's it.
Win games, right? That's most important. Pay those fines, my man. 610-632-0975. Mitch in Phoenix next on the Fanatic. Mitch.
My man, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Not bad for an old guy.
Nah, you're a young guy.
You know, before I get to sports, I got to ask you this. This murder of Breonna Taylor, did I read this right or did I hear this right that no one was arrested? Because I initially heard what one cop was arrested and the other three were not. What do I have it right or wrong?
I felt that they were, one of them was either charged or arrested for property damage in the apartment. And that was it.
Property damage?
Yes, if I have that correctly, I think it was property damage, whatever happened in that. With the
woman
that was
is
done.
Dead. She shot multiple times in her bed and they come up with property damage?
Yeah, man.
Something isn't right. Something is not right. Anyway, moving on, because we're not supposed to get political. It's a no-brainer. If it comes down between Ty Lue and D'Antonio, however he pronounces it, you got to go with Ty Lue, and I'll tell you why. He's 41 years old. He played basketball as a guard. So he knows the meaning of what a guard is supposed to do. He also was able to coach people like Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and whoever. So people like Embiid and Simmons are not going to call their own shots because he knows how to win. He won a championship, and I think he's the right guy for the job.
Who's that?
Ty Lue.
Ty Lue. Okay. Again, I'm not against it. I just simply wonder if he can coach this squad.
Well, this squad is a mess. If they don't make some major moves, and you know I've been talking about getting rid of certain people for years now. If they don't come to a conclusion, and I guess this would be up to Elton Brand, that somebody who they seem to think is a superstar needs to move on for something good.
Uh-huh.
I don't know which guy you're going to move, but I do know how Miami built their team, and I'm sure you as a basketball aficionado have been watching the Miami Heat.
Yeah, I like that team. I like how they put it together, man. They look really good. And looking at them and how they're doing things, I'm jealous. I'm jealous of how they play. I'm jealous of the collection of talent that they have. I'm jealous of the coach and Eric Spoelstra. And they have done things the right way. Can they sustain? We'll find out. But first things first is this playoff right here, and they look really good. I like how they built this team.
Well, it starts with Pat Riley.
Yep.
Then they have an excellent general manager.
Mm-hmm.
And then the coach that I can never pronounce his name.
Spoelstra.
He's got to be one of the top five coaches in the NBA. Do you agree?
No question about it.
So there you go. Then they get Jimmy Butler. They throw in that dude for us. He looked good the first year. The second year, he doesn't look interested at all. They get this guy Hero in the first round that shoots the lights out of wherever he's at. And last night, he finished the game with, what, 35, 36 points?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you build a team. That's how it's done.
Listen, Mitch, I mean, that's what we're all waiting for. Number one, to find out who's going to be the coach and then how you put things together. Thanks for the call. Always good to hear from you. That's why we're waiting patiently or a little impatiently at this point to find out who the head coach is going to be to see what this team is going to look like.
Yep. That call from Mitch right there kind of makes me go back to another caller that we had earlier who was talking about, you know, the grit in the fight from the Sixers, and they always seem to, them and the Eagles seem to have like the good locker room presence, but nobody that's willing to fight. I know that Jimmy Butler is willing to fight for the Heat, and I know that those guys are seemingly willing to fight. They're up 3-1, and it makes total sense, and it's evident right away. But we've always talked about, you know, like the Heat way and the training that they do and the mindset that you have to get in to be a member of the Miami Heat. Where's the disconnect? Because if there's like the Heat way and it works, wouldn't you want to emulate that if you're the Sixers? They don't do it.
Yeah, because we know there's copycats in everything. So why not try to do that, as you pointed out?
Like Jimmy Butler went down and bought in immediately.
He had a little bit of a, first of all, the relationship that he has with Dwayne Wade, that's number one. Number two, they told him he was going to be the man, even though he doesn't have to score 30 a game. He's the face of them, outside of Spoelstra and Riley being the faces from that, you know, the coach and the president. Jimmy Butler is the face. Gordon Dragic does his thing. Bam Adebayo, first time All-Star. He's going to be an All-Star for many years. And then you have the collection of younger players, Kendrick Nunn, Duncan Robinson, and Tyler Herro, who went off last night. So, yeah, I mean, you look at it and people say, first of all, oh, let's be like the Golden State Warriors. Let's do what they did. Well, it's hard to do. You have a generational guy, Stephen Curry. The other one can flat out shoot, maybe the best shooter of all time. Draymond Green, a unique player who does things in a different way, but so effective that it might land him in the Hall of Fame. And it works out. So let's do what they do.
It's very difficult to have
and it's hard
three
to
or four
do that.
Hall of Famers.
It's hard to do that, right? So that's going to be, I mean, Miami, the culture that they have, look, I know you were talking about it because you're paying a lot more attention to it because of Jimmy Butler. A lot of people were talking about it because of Jimmy Butler again. This is what it's been for them. This is how it has been. This weight thing with their culture, this has been since Riley has been there. This is their thing. And they buy in. They flat out buy in. This is what they do.
Do you remember a few years ago when the Heat were kind of at a crossroads and we were talking about if the Heat were going to sell pieces? And the conversation kind of went to the point where it was like, yeah, I don't know if a Pat Riley-led team will be openly willing to tank. So it'll be more like a retool as opposed to a rebuild.
Yeah, because he wouldn't do that.
They retooled in one offseason.
So look,
we didn't even talk about this year being like a dip year.
And you
talk
about
back
one off season, they were still making the playoffs.
Right.
They retool into a championship contender.
So
by
like,
making the right moves, and they still have, they've always made sure that they had some opening, some money available. And that's why the talk started to be, oh, well, what about Giannis? What about Giannis? Was Giannis going to go to, he's either going to go to Golden State or Miami or stay where he is in Milwaukee? And that's what you hear. By the way, they're one win away from the NBA Finals.
Yes, they are.
By the way, see why I didn't like the way you didn't have to do it the way that you did it? I'm just saying, you didn't have to do it the way you did it. You know what I'm talking about.
I hope y'all keep trusting the process.
Now let's move on. 610-632-0975. Rob in Northeast checking in. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Devon. Thanks for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks for calling in, man.
Sure thing. Hey, you guys, just now, you guys were talking about making the right move. And what I want to talk about today is Howie Roseman. How can he, every single draft, how is he picking the wrong players every single draft? I mean, let's take a look at the 2017 draft. One player from that draft still plays on the team.
And he's not even that good to me.
Exactly. We're talking about Derek Barnett, who is right now, to me, he's a bust. Sidney Jones, no longer on the team. Russell Douglas, Mac Collins. Like, come on. These are your top four draft picks. Like, how is he getting these wrong every single time? At least hit on one. Hit on one.
Yeah.
It is holding this team back. And quite frankly, I think he needs to go. I know we're talking about Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson. No, Howie Roseman at this point needs to go. And if you don't mind, can I say one more thing? How in the world are all these players getting injured? We're talking about a global pandemic this year where practices are reduced. It's limited.
like, how are these players getting injured every time? Like, what are these guys putting into their body? That's what I want to know.
Well, listen, man, because they weren't able to do things, right? Because they weren't able to do a lot of things with their normal workout. Listen, these guys are creatures of habits. So when they're unable to do the stuff that they are accustomed to doing, it's really difficult for them to do that type of stuff, the conditioning and all that. We knew even with the basketball and baseball, we felt like there were going to be some soft tissue injuries and stuff like that. And, you know, here we are. Look at what we're seeing.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. Demise, it's very frustrating as an Eagles fan. It seems like it's a constant reoccurring theme every single year now. It's frustrating.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, thanks for the call, man. It is frustrating to see it happen, especially here in Philadelphia. You don't want to see that at all. You don't want to see it at all. At all. 610-632-0975. And it's tough, man, because the injuries are happening. The injuries are going to happen. That's every sport. Anytime, right? Every sport, anytime, this can happen. No surprise there. But, man, they are just dropping. They are dropping. I mean, my goodness. Right? They are dropping. So, and it's tough to watch these guys drop, especially with the nature of the injuries, too. We're starting to see all these injuries that are really, really bad for people, man. It is. It's nasty.
I'm not going to tell you were right, because I didn't miss it, but maybe they missed the preseason. I'm not going to give you that satisfaction.
No, and I'm not looking for satisfaction.
But maybe they missed the preseason.
Maybe. Maybe. Man. Definitely tough to see all of these injuries. Forget about the level of player, right? It's just the matter. It's just the fact that they're dropping. It's a shame for these guys, man.
I mean, multiple ACL tears on one defensive line. Two guys from the Giants, both Sterling Shepard and Saquon Barkley, Cortland Sutton, Christian McCaffrey. The list goes on and on.
I don't know how Cortland Sutton allowed himself, number one, to get out there. Because remember, before game one, we were like, is Cortland Sutton going to play? And you already had him in your draft on your fantasy team. And we're sitting there, and I'm like, all right, this dude is already banged up. Then they said he was going to play. And I was like, wait a minute. I thought he was down for like a week or two. No, he's going to play. He plays, and he rips it up. Now he's done for the season. Sad. Saquon Barkley.
Is he done for the season, Cortland Sutton?
I thought it was an ACL.
I hadn't seen the latest. I know that he was on IR, but the IR this year is weird because you can do more things with it because of the pandemic.
I thought it was the ACL. I'm looking it up right now. Von Miller, we knew he was out for a while. I thought it was it.
I'll try to get it from my team. I'll show you in just a second.
Yeah, so they moved him with his knee to injury reserve. That's what it says right there. I thought it was the ACL. I don't want to wish it on him, but
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
He's out for the rest of the season with the
knee
torn
injury
ACL.
Ends Sutton's season.
Yep. And then the ACL and the MCL for Saquon Barkley.
This is just lovely.
Man.
Guys are getting hurt like crazy.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. Final segment. We start off with Gerald and Bill on the other side. We also got to tell you about a weird situation with the Chargers. If we're talking about injuries, how did this one happen? Final segment on the other side, right here on the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Javon Givens. On 97.5, the Fanatic. The Fanatic.
Yes, and B West will be playing, of course, this weekend at Parks Casino with a pregame show along with Derek Gunn. Me, be there as well. I start at 9, and then we get together at 10 o'clock. We take you right up until kickoff. Tyler Zuli will be producing the show. take you out to kickoff right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, getting ready for those Cincinnati Bengals. And the Lakers just put up 37. Denver 30 in the first quarter. It's going to be a high-scoring affair here. All right, 610-632-0975. We'll get to the Chargers as well in that weird situation out there in Los Angeles with Tyrod Taylor. Gerald in Los Angeles right now as we speak. What's up, G?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good, man.
Hey, listen, what you talking about? This guy talking about the 2017 draft. Don't he know? Danelle Pumphrey is an XFL superstar, man.
Is he in the XFL? I mean,
Rasul's like ranked in the top 10 in the league right now.
He actually is. With the
I know.
Who's he with? The Panthers?
Funny.
Yeah.
It's like hilarious, man. I'm starting to think like they got the same training staff as the Sixers. People go other places and do well. Hey, you know who the Sixers should have hired a long time ago? They should have brought in Mike Zarin as the GM from Boston, man. He's like was Angel's number two for years.
Yeah. I thought that they would do that a couple of years ago, and they did not. When Elton Brand, when the whole thing happened with Brian Colangelo, I thought that Mike Zarin would be one of the names, and you know, here we are.
Yeah, man, you know what's crazy? The article that came out today about apparently they wanted Tyler Hero last year in the draft, and when Miami took him, like their whole draft room just like fell down. They were upset about it.
Yeah, so, I do know they liked him because, of course, they identify shooting, and Miami was savvy enough, like they always are, to go out there and snatch him up. And he was selected in the draft last year, pick number 13. Now, they had some work to do to move up, but, you know, I don't know.
Now, let's talk about this coach search, if you don't mind. So, here's the thing, man. With the personnel that we have for the Sixers, I don't understand the idea of D'Antoni. And the only reason he should be under this kind of consideration is if he came in and met with them, and he put together a plan and said, here's what I think we can do. And it was so amazing that they were just blown away like nobody. This is a new concept. Nobody's ever thought about it. We can't believe how amazing it is. And if it was that good, they would have hired him on the spot, not said, let's talk next week. I don't understand with this personnel that they're targeting this guy. And if they're at all targeting him to try and get one player that you have no guarantee you're ever going to get, they're more lost than I thought they were.
Actually, you know what? Sometimes, though, I still wonder if what they're doing and waiting so long is Ty Lue and some conversations.
Well, here's the thing.
You know what I'm saying?
Here's the thing. Yeah, but here's the thing. I love the way you're thinking, but we got to remember who we're talking about. This is a team that fired their GM and took 3 months to find somebody and then just basically elevated somebody, a fairly inexperienced person from internal.
Mm-hmm.
They fired a coach a month ago, said that they were going to make changes in the front office. I don't think anybody's been hired or fired to this point. Same thing, like they're talking, I hear every day that, oh, they're going to talk to this dude next week, this dude next. It's been a month without a coach. One of your best candidates in Billy Donovan has gotten hired away. I get you want to take your time. It seems like the Sixers always like, we're going to take our time and get it right. That sounds great. But it seems like the Sixers are just slow and still get it wrong.
Let's see if they get this one right. And that is partially, you know, I said the Ty Lue part, where they may be taking their time and they're still having the conversations with Tyronn Lue. From my understanding, again, he wants some good money, which is probably around like $7 million a year. Billy Donovan, it came out today that he got $6+ over 4 years, I think it is, and $24 million. So he's going to get about... He's going to get about $6 million a year, right? Over the $24 million for the amount of years he's going to be in Chicago. And Tyronn Lue is going to want more than that because Tyronn Lue has been to three titles, won one, and he's going to want more money than that. And if the Sixers are willing to do that, then I believe he will be here. I do.
Yeah, here's my problem with that. If he's really your guy, if you've like, because he's been the lead candidate kind of from like the day after Brett Brown got fired, it was like, oh, they have interest in. If he's really your guy, why are you like dancing around for a month waiting to sign a guy? You can get the guy signed. I know he's still doing his thing, but you can get the guy signed and it's done.
Who are you talking about, Lou?
Yeah.
Well, he's done now, so you can.
That's what I'm saying. But yeah. why are you waiting a month and wasting on? If he's really your guy, then like, are you that indecisive that you're not sure? Like, and how do you know that like one of these other teams wouldn't scoop in and take him out from under you? Like, that's what I don't understand. So unless there's some mystery candidate that they just shock us all with, that's amazing. I don't understand it, and it's telling me that the disorganization within the organization is still out of control.
Well, hopefully we find out soon. Hopefully we find out soon, G. Thanks for the call, man. As always, appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. 610-632-0975. I really don't know, guys. I really do not know. I don't. And it's bad because, you know, I'm supposed to know. And I don't know.
I feel like that's so much worse than us knowing and disagreeing. Because if we knew and we could just sit here and say, nope, don't like that decision, at least they've made a decision. Because if they've done it this swiftly, you would think that they've got somebody they really like.
Mm-hmm.
For us to be sitting here and saying, and you specifically to be sitting here saying you don't know, I hate everything about that. It just leaves us in total uncertainty as to where this team may end up going.
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. And I wish I knew because I would tell you guys, but I just don't know.
You want to pretend like you know?
No.
Can you make something up? At least make us feel better.
I'm trying to answer that. Maybe say something that I haven't said, but I think I've said everything. I think I have said everything that I know. Well, not everything, all the time. Sometimes you're asked to keep it to yourself.
Well, of course. Things that you're allowed to say.
No, I don't think I have anything.
It's going to be a long couple months.
What I do wonder, again, I think I mentioned this yesterday. I want to say I mentioned this yesterday. But anyway, the fact that, and I know, I actually mentioned it earlier, paying someone when there's no money out there right now. There's no money. So you're paying someone with no money out there. You're not bringing in any money. You know what I'm saying? They're not bringing any money, so are they trying to wait and hang on as long as possible? As long as possible until they have to actually pay someone. Maybe. Again, maybe that's something that they're... Maybe. All right, let me give you this story with Tyrod Taylor because this thing is weird. So the Chargers, I was watching the game, Kansas City and the Chargers this weekend, Sunday. And I'm like, okay, Justin Herbert's in the game. Maybe Tyrod Taylor got hurt. Maybe they, why are they doing this? They just won week number one with Taylor. Why are they doing this? Especially against the Kansas City Chiefs. Why are they doing this? Well, he looked frustrated on the sideline. I thought they pulled him. I didn't understand why Tyrod Taylor was not on the field. Well, then, of course, we get the story yesterday. Was it yesterday or Tuesday? Adam Schefter saying, let me give the exact tweet that he had about Tyrod Taylor because this one was just strange all around. When you started to read the entire thing, with Tyrod Taylor, you're looking at it and you're saying, what? So here's the story on Tyrod Taylor. Adam Schefter tweeted this out yesterday. The Chargers team doctor accidentally punctured his own quarterback Tyrod Taylor's lung just before kickoff Sunday while trying to administer a pain-killing injection into the quarterback's cracked ribs, league and team sources told ESPN. A little more here. Doctors have advised Tyrod Taylor not to play indefinitely due to his punctured lung. The Chargers were hoping Taylor would be able to start Sunday, but doctors are against it. That leaves Justin Herbert with an opportunity to start in that game. Then George Atala, who is an assistant executive director of external affairs for the NFLPA, tweets out on Adam Schefter's information, "Our medical and legal team have been in touch with Tyrod and his agent since Sunday, collecting the facts, and the investigation has been initiated." Ryan Harris, then, from Denver, tweets out, "Little known fact, per the CBA, when a player accepts team medical care, they cannot sue." All right, let's get to the first part. How many times has this happened and we don't know about it? So, you trust the doctor to do exactly what you're asking him to do. Give me the shot, shoot me up, I'm ready to go. No big deal, I'll be good. Just shoot me up, I'm ready to go. Punctured lung? I mean, this thing is wild. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more just because of the amount of times that this stuff goes on. As many times as they do it, all right, you say, all right, as many times as they do it, they shouldn't be making the mistake. Mistakes happen.
Do you know it doesn't happen more?
That's why I said I'm surprised.
Yeah,
I heard that it has happened more.
I wonder how many times it has happened and it doesn't get out. It doesn't get leaked.
Well, this one got out.
Sure did.
So what do you think of it? What do you make of this whole thing?
I mean, you know, it's very, very difficult to like pick a side on this almost, because I don't think there's sides to be picked.
No. You know, first of all, you want the health. You want everything with the player to be right. And you feel bad for the doctor because he's doing something that he normally does. And on this one,
went the other way. You know, when you're in a position like that, you know, you make a mistake. Everyone in their job makes mistakes. Every single person. Because we're human beings. We're not perfect. Every one of us has made a mistake in their jobs. There are just certain jobs that the ramifications are intensified if you do make a mistake. Team doctor happens to be one of them. You know, he made a mistake that ended up injuring Tyrod Taylor. It's just a bad situation made worse, I think, by the fact that it got out.
And now, again, reading what Ryan Harris tweets out, per the CBA, when player accepts team medical care, they cannot sue.
I kind of figured that would be part of their their contracts, because I was wondering about that. Is it in a particular player's contract, or is it the league-wide CBA? Because I would imagine that would be...
They not sue.
Yeah, I would imagine that there's like no at fault. Because you would think, not this particular instance, but things probably happen more often than we hear about. You would think that if that were the case, if that were not in their contracts, players would probably be suing their teams all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a punctured lung is probably an extreme example.
Right.
But... You know, you probably would, if that were not in the CBA, I'd guess that players would probably be suing for, you know, bone issues, for muscle issues, tendon issues, if it doesn't heal properly. There's so many things that you would probably know about if that were not the case in their CBA.
I don't know, man. This one was wild, though. When I saw this, I was, wow.
This is
an interesting one.
It's the extreme of a bad situation.
It is. Wild story. Also, while the Birds have to get past the Cincinnati Bengals this weekend, they also have a tough one the following week as they travel to San Francisco. The latest on them with so many injured people. No practice today for Jimmy Garoppolo with an ankle. Tevin Campbell, knee. I mean, Tevin Coleman. I'm thinking Tevin Campbell, the singer.
Paris Campbell's out. I will tell you that.
Ah, there you go. Tevin Coleman, knee. Raheem Mostert, knee. D Ford, back. Dre Greenlaw, quad. George Kittle, knee, limited practice. Quarterback Nick Mullins on track to start Sunday at the Giants.
You know, I got to tell you, with this 49ers team, had they beaten Arizona in week one and were 2-0, you would almost assuredly be seeing a punt week. Where like, all right, we're 2-0, we're off to a great start, none of you are playing. And if we lose, we lose. We're getting you back healthy for the big part of the season.
All right. And Blake Bortles is back in the league, signing with the Denver Broncos.
He stinks.
All right, Ty, we're about to get out of here, so I have to get your thoughts. Phillies start tomorrow.
Yes.
We generally don't talk much about them until the end of the game. Three-game series, man, starting tomorrow. First of all, what do you think of Eflin? Nice work yesterday.
Yeah, he looked really good.
You said he's going to be there number three next year.
I would think so. I don't believe that they've got too many other needs to address that are going to be high-paying needs.
On their team already.
Yes. Yeah, guys that are already on the team. That's not to mention free agency money that they're going to have to spend in the bullpen because they've got to get somebody. But just guys that are already currently on the team, you know, whether it be Real Muto's contract, that's obviously at the forefront, but also... Didi is on a one-year deal. I believe McCutcheon's deal is also up.
It is up. We talked about this off the air last night, and you said they would probably have to move on, but with the lack of money that you're talking about, they might have to find a way to try to bring him back and keep him in the fold, and the money is going to go down from what he's been making.
Well, the good news is that $25 million is going to come off your books because they're definitely not re-signing Jake Arrieta.
No, he's out.
So that's $25 million right there.
They still need a second baseman.
You don't trust Kingery?
No.
Okay.
Every day?
Yeah, I mean, every day as compared to going out and spending big money for
when you think about your infield, you're thinking about guys, not rotations. You're thinking about a starter and somebody coming in every now and then to fill in. Have we seen enough for him to be the person that we sit here and look at and say that's an everyday second baseman?
No, but I think for 2021, I have to give him the benefit of the doubt and give him the opportunity to do it one more time because he's already on contract.
That's their fault.
Oh, of course it is. But they don't...
Nobody told him to go out there and get cute.
They don't have the money, I don't think, to sign a big-time infield, a big-time impact infielder, when you still already have to sign a big-time impact infielder who's currently on your roster.
No one told them to go out there and get cute. No one.
Signing Didi Gregorius to any kind of deal was a great idea. Signing Didi Gregorius to a one-year deal, looking back after the season that he had, was a really poor decision because now he's going to get paid again.
Yep. It was a good decision to bring him in.
Oh, yeah.
But
he's been the most consistent player on the team.
But he's too good. He's too good. All right, so we'll see tomorrow, man. We'll see tomorrow.
I'm telling you, they're going to find a way to make the playoffs.
You said it. You keep saying they're going to make the playoffs. I say they won't. Because they need too much help from everywhere else.
So do you think it's more that they can't beat Tampa Bay on their own, or is it that the Marlins are going to somehow weirdly beat the Yankees?
Again,
or
it's too much because it's not just the Marlins. Yeah. It's Cincinnati, it's Milwaukee, and San Francisco.
There's a lot to get through.
And this is their own fault. Again, we talked about the money being their own fault. This is their own fault because the bullpen stinks, and that's on the general manager, and that's where we are right now. So we'll get into more of that tomorrow. Some breaking news tonight as well, where the Pac-12, Tyler Zuli, I know you love to hear this, they'll be playing a 7-game football season beginning on November 6th. So they are, about 2 weeks away from the start of their Pac-12 football season in college football, folks. So there's that.
I don't know what what kind of threshold the college football playoff committee is going to have, depending on how many games. They said there's no minimum standard of games to make it to the playoff.
Yeah.
That's not true because the football committee is subjective to begin with.
Yes.
So you're going to have to win at least a minimum amount of games. I will tell you this, though. Without having to play Ohio State now on their schedule, Don't be shocked if Oregon's in the college football playoff.
Ooh. Ooh.
Team's good.
Okay.
Especially if Penei Sewell decides to come back and play.
Okay.
I don't know if he will, but if he does, the team is good.
All right. Okay. And right now, looks like the Lakers 52-45 over the Denver Nuggets in game number 4 here in this series. Ooh. Nuggets was a really good win in game 3. I think the Lakers will take this one. Not looking at just the score right now. I just think that they'll take this one when it's all said and done at the end of the night. So we'll be back tomorrow with our Draft Line show presented by DraftKings tomorrow at 6 o'clock with Jamie Lynch. So that'll be 6 to 7 tomorrow right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Following that, we will go in from 7 until 10. We will be taking your phone calls, of course, on what are the Birds going to do against the Bengals.
And by the way, the red-hot Devon Givens and Tyler Zuli give you their Week 3 picks.
9-10. You don't want to miss it. We're not telling you to bet on our picks because it's not our responsibility if you lose. It's only our responsibility if you win. Okay? That's it.
We just want a couple of bucks.
We just want a sandwich. We'll even split it. All right? We'll even split it. Todd, thanks so much, man. Great work as always. Thanks to all the callers, tweets, listeners out there. We really appreciate it. You know we can't do it without you. And Barrett Brooks, our weekly guest on Thursdays. We really appreciate it, my man. Congratulations to another winner of the Fanatic Football Pool. Who was our winner tonight, Todd? Who was our winner?
Jack Knox.
Jack Knox from Roxborough. I do remember that. Jack, congratulations again, man. Let me borrow a dollar. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 o'clock, the Draft Line Show, presented by DraftKings with Jamie Lynch. We'll talk to you at 6 right here on The Fanatic. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.